Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Today, California has impressively low COVID-19 numbers right now. What leads to these ebbs and surges of the case? Well, to answer your questions, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dr. Andrew Neumer, epidemiologist and demographer at UC Irvine. Doctor, thanks very much for the time. I was wondering, like, depending on, I don't know, the time of year, whether we're masking, whether there are protocols that are relaxed, that plays into the kind of numbers we see.
Thank you for having me on KCBS again, Holly. All of those things that you mentioned matter, but they matter in ways that we cannot precisely parse out. Like, we can't say it's 15% masking. And I'll add that, you know, variants play into this. I mean, a lot of the summer wave we saw in California was the Delta variant. And there's just a remarkable amount of diversity from state to state in what the epidemic is playing out like. And we don't fully understand all of those differences. And that's different than a lot of past historical epidemics like the 1918 flu.
Doctor, can vaccinated people and those who haven't gotten the vaccine have the same amount of virus in their bodies at the same time?
Dan, people who haven't been vaccinated, and if they're infected, they typically have more virus than the so-called breakthrough case. I'm not sure I understood your
I'm just wondering if you get the vaccination, if that kind of suppresses the virus down there, or if it just kind of completely eradicates it in your body.
Well, clearly with the Delta variant, we're seeing breakthrough cases. So what the vaccine does, it's not what we call a sterilizing vaccine, which is like the measles vaccine, where you just don't get any infection. So you do have some viral replication in vaccinated people, but in many cases enough to suppress all symptoms, and people who are vaccinated produce less virus. But unfortunately, we now know that there are breakthrough cases. So I mean, people can get COVID if they're vaccinated. I mean, although I would remind, you know, your listeners that it's a milder case. There are people who probably would be dead right now if they hadn't been vaccinated, yeah, who simply wound up with a mild case of COVID. So, I mean, vaccination is absolutely worthwhile, but the vaccine best case scenario of being totally invulnerable to COVID if you're vaccinated, you know, unfortunately has not played out.
As a demographer, how does that inform how you study the numbers? Do you look at groups of people who are, you know, certain ages, certain ethnic groups, certain income levels, certain parts of the state?
Well, the biggest thing with COVID is that, you know, mortality is concentrated in older people. And it's unusual in the sense that with influenza, which is, you know, the typical killer of, you know, respiratory, it's the typical respiratory disease that is fatal. We see that small kids like under age five and older people 65 and up are where all the mortality is. But with COVID, it's really more the older folks, but without the kids. And so that's, been the most unusual thing. And, we're still frankly mystified why children don't get severe COVID, you know, hardly as often as older people. I mean, kids do get COVID and they do get infection, but in most cases it's mild.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask you what has either surprised you or baffled you so far.
Well, yeah, the fact that kids are so protected, especially in the age range sort of birth to age five, that's typically, one of the more fragile age groups. And we're not seeing, you know, a lot of child severe infections and child deaths. For older kids, it's not that unusual that, for mortality in the United States, age nine is actually the safest age. Like, people, nine-year-olds just don't die very often of anything, basically, both before COVID and after COVID. So that's not a big surprise. But the younger kids, under age five, is different than flu and other respiratory diseases like RSV. So that's been the biggest surprise, really, is the fact that young children are don't seem to get severe symptoms hardly at all.
If you have a question, ask us at kcbsradio.com is the email. Question, doctor, what about a time frame? If you're vaccinated, do you have the potential to spread the virus as long as someone who isn't?
So that is actually one study, a difference. Like, one study I've seen shows that the spreading period is shorter for vaccinated people. The amount of virus they shed is less long for breakthrough cases compared to immuno-naive cases or primary cases. So yeah, your listener hit the nail right on the head there. It's the total virus shed by a breakthrough case is less than the total virus shed by a primary case. And part of the reason for that is that the time period of viral shedding is shorter.
Here's another question from a listener. What's the most defining factor when it comes to controlling cases? Is it the vaccine? Is it masks?
Well, it's both. I mean, it really is both. I'm not trying to, like, split the baby here, but, the two of them work synergistically. I mean, vaccines afford protection, but if we reduce the amount of virus that we see by going out in public wearing a mask, then it really kind of seals the deal. Similarly, when people mask, they spread less virus to others because the little respiratory droplets get kind of stopped in the mesh material of the mask. So it's really both. There's still a lot of unanswered questions about how durable the vaccine is, and the listeners have heard a lot about booster shots, I'm sure, in the last few days. We don't know if the vaccine is going to be, two shots and done, or three shots and done, or if it's going to be something that we're going to need every year. I mean, I am fully vaccinated. I have absolutely no regrets about having done that. And, I hope that as many listeners as possible are vaccinated or will get vaccinated. But to be totally candid, we don't know how long that vaccination will last, but we do know that if you mask when you go to the supermarket, that affords protection. So that's another reason to do both, because, clearly we're seeing breakthrough cases and so vaccination alone is not enough.
Well, that kind of leads us into our next question that we have for you, doctor. I mean, listeners obviously are always looking to the future, and this person wants to know if you expect immunity numbers to trickle down in the coming months as the first and second doses of the vaccine wear off.
Well, yeah, there's that, and also whether or not, people can get reinfected. So how long lasting is natural immunity is another question, and part of that depends on variants. We know the Mu variant is kicking around in California. It hasn't been able to knock Delta off of its perch. Delta is still far and away the dominant variant. But, I do expect, that we're seeing certainly waning immunity from the vaccines. And, they saw this in Israel. And, I think the FDA, quite frankly, is is drawing the wrong inference from the Israeli data as compared to the United States data. The Israeli experience isn't that they're so much more vaccinated than the United States. Sometimes you hear this, but Israel's only a little bit more vaccinated than California. But what makes Israel different is that they vaccinated very quickly. So they all got vaccinated kind of on the same day. I mean, that's an exaggeration, obviously, but you see the point. It's like everyone got vaccinated on the same day, and then they all started to lose protection in August. And because they were all vaccinated on the same day, they all lost it on the same day. And again, I'm just sort of oversimplifying things. But the point is, here in the United States, we vaccinated in dribs and drabs. Your listeners will remember trying to make a pharmacy appointment in March or April or May, and so people were vaccinated over the course of quite a few months. And so when we lose our immunity as a collective, as a population of California, when we lose our immunity, it's not going to be like the Israelis losing it all at once. We're going to lose the immunity in the same dribs and drabs that we got the vaccination. And so that means that the signal that we're seeing of people losing immunity is going to be more diffuse. But we shouldn't mistake that diffuse signal for sign that the vaccines are perfect. And, you know, the Israelis have made the decision that everyone needs a third dose. And to be honest with you, I think after 8 months, people in the United States will need a third dose. And I'm disappointed that the FDA is being so cautious with authorizing third doses.
Yeah, I was curious as to what you thought about that, because I was thinking, you know, as you were talking about Israel, I was thinking we are a much larger country, our logistics are different, and so how you go about distributing the vaccine and potentially the subsequent boosters is going to be different. And like you said, that we're all going to lose our immunity in different times.
Yeah, I mean, I think, that's a fair point, Holly, but I mean, you know, we managed to get, if everyone goes back to get their third dose to the same place they got their first and second dose, then, you know, we can manage the logistics. I mean, I never thought the logistics would be, you know, the major stumbling block here. Because we normally vaccinate, you know, one third of the American population for flu every fall. And so, you know, scaling that up to COVID, to two-thirds of the American population, you know, it's a tough task, but it's one that we've risen to. I mean, and there's vaccine available for people who, you know, are listening to your broadcast who haven't gotten it yet. And, you know, now would be an excellent time. But, I mean, we have the distribution channels. Retail pharmacies have worked out pretty well for this, and people can go to their healthcare. Yeah. Providers, if they're a member of an HMO or something. So, I mean, we can distribute third doses. And in fact, everyone who's 65 and up is now authorized for third dose of Pfizer. And I think for Moderna, it's also in the works. I just think that 65 and up is not the only group that needs the third dose. I think, you know, one of your listeners who's 45, if it's been 8 months since their second shot, then they can also profitably get a third shot.
Doctor, this listener wants to know, says California is at 69% right now. The world goal is 70. About when or what level will we hit the herd immunity level?
Well, it's herd immunity depends on how transmissible a variant is. So, 70% is a goal set partly based on the herd immunity threshold of the original virus and partly because it's a goal set that can be, you know, more easily achieved than saying 99% or something like that. But I mean, California, I don't think in the age of Delta will achieve herd immunity with just 70%. So we should aim to exceed 70%. We should aim for 80 or higher. Now, obviously, I mean, I note that kids under 12 aren't authorized yet. So.
Right.
You know, I'm talking about people who are eligible for shots.
All right, doctor. Appreciate your time. By the way, you can follow Dr. Neumer at Andrew Neumer on Twitter, and he is an epidemiologist and demographer at UC Irvine.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.